Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear the voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine atmosphere, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Hey there, kids and Keebler bits. Winter came back, and today is another episode of After Raw, and today we have a guest star on. Name is Seth Jerome.
Yes, hi.
I'm going to say more. Manhandler of mayhem, scribbler of many books, and editor of the extreme and tarot stuff.
Hello.
Welcome to the After Raw world, Seth.
Thanks. It's a thrill to be here. I'm excited to be on your show.
Yeah, finally on my show. So, I've been looking up a little bit about you. You've written a lot of books.
Yes, I have. It's kind of a sickness, really.
And as I understand it, you have a bunch of them coming out this year.
Yes, I do. Yes, it's madness, I know. I have a brand new series that just launched yesterday called Witch Upon a Star. And it's a 12-book series about a coven of witches who cast love spells every month. Basically, it's an astrology-based kind of idea. Lots of erotica, lots of horror. Each book stands alone and is a complete mystery, horror, astrology, witchy cornucopia of fun and horror.
And is each one based on a birth sign?
Yes. So the first one's called Capricorn Cursed, and it's based on a Capricorn. So it's her birthday month. So what happens is there's this coven of witches, and every month they get together for their monthly rituals, and for a full year they decided that whoever's birthday it is, they're going to do a love spell for her and then see what happens. So our first book begins with Capricorn, and we have Capricorn's love spell, and so we'll get to see her fall in love or not, if the spell works or not. It is romance, so things do have the upbeat ending. people who are used to my regular horror where, you know, it's nothing good ever happens, this will probably be a refreshing change that some positive things kind of happen, sort of.
So happy endings.
Now, I wouldn't say they're happy because, you know, people still die and stuff, but they're happier than what people are used to from me, I would venture to say.
Oh, I mean because they're horror erotica, happy endings.
There's that too. Yeah.
Gotcha.
There is a massage parlor in that town. They all take place in this town called Hermana, and it's based on Salem, of course. It's in New England. So I have this whole town, and they all hang out at, you know, this one bar called Intuition, and there's also the Cauldron, and then there's, you know, a lingerie store, and, you know, also, you know, I have the whole town all out there, all mapped out, and so Capricorn is the one that came out yesterday, and she is actually has a secret from the rest of the coven, and she's a medium as well, so her side job is being a medium. She goes to the haunted houses for the tourists and does the medium stuff, and she also is a violinist, and she also plays, like, at the local bars or if there's, like, a wedding or something.
So she's talented.
She's very talented.
I was going to say she's not necessarily smaller or larger, she's medium.
A tall, pale medium, yes.
There you go.
Yeah, and so the love interest of that particular book is she meets a mysterious guy on New Year's Eve, and they make out for a bit in a room, and, you know, they were going to go further, but then they got interrupted. Then the sun was coming up, and Natasha does have to get home before the sun, so.
And then I was just going to throw in there, Capricorn Interrupted. It's like,
yeah.
That could have been another title.
It could have been. Maybe I'll save that for the second year they all do their love spells.
There you go. Just throwing out ideas. Throwing it. Now I'm kind of curious what Pisces is going to be.
Oh, Pisces is already written. It's called Teacher's Pet.
And, oh, man.
It'll be out soon. I've got the galleys. And,
well, you know I'm a Pisces, right?
Pardon?
You know I'm a Pisces, right?
I know you're a Pisces and I'm an Aquarius.
There you go.
The Pisces lady in this book, she's about 40, and she's the one that owns the lingerie store.
So, well, like, hot diggity darn.
Yes, and her talent is she's an artist. She's a painter, and she paints auras. And when she meets this beautiful young man student who's about 22, he has a lot of talent when he paints his brush too. And together, when they're mixing their paints, the magic happens.
Okay, so a lot of euphemisms and metaphors being wrote in there, hi?
Absolutely. It's the funnest part of writing erotica.
Gotcha. Okay, we're going to slip away from the erotica now, go to the horror. So I see a bunch of other books here. Penny
Yes.
Saved, oops, wrong page. Penny Saved, Experiment in Terror, Flesh Failure, Captured Souls.
Yeah, those titles you just mentioned are my Samhain horror titles. A Penny Save is my recent one. It just came out December 1st. A Penny Saved is about demons. If anyone's watching that new show, Lucifer, it's funny because when I started watching that, I'm like, oh my God, that's the demon from A Penny Saved. He's all wisecracky like that. And yeah, so if you like that show, you'll probably like A Penny Saved. And also with A Penny Saved, at the time I was writing it, books are written long before they actually come out. So I actually wrote it about a year and a half ago. And at the time, that's when 50 Shades of Grey was really hot. And you couldn't do anything without seeing that. So for me, A Penny Saved is my answer to 50 Shades of Grey. It's 50 Shades of Hell. So it really is a story about a contract and rising to the top and S&M. It's very extreme horror and extreme SM bondage scenes and things like that.
So, standard political nights.
Absolutely.
Or, as Jack in the chat room calls it, a children's book.
Oh yeah, well, children come from something, right? Yeah.
They start and they go to somewhere. Yeah, they totally are into something. But I love the cover, by the way. That's an awesome cover for A Penny Saved. Was
Yeah,
that
I love it too.
an artist person doing this, or was this stock stuff or whatever?
No, whoever's Samhain has cover artists. Let me just quickly do.
See, I'm making you do research.
Yeah, no, because the person who did Capricorn also did some of my Samhain covers, but I don't think he did A Penny Saved. I think it was a lady who did Penny Saved, but I think he did the Captured Souls one. But I just don't want to, even though I've just all said that. But okay, hang on.
The Captured Souls is a good cover too. It's kind of quirky and weird. It's like, why is she all plugged into stuff and in the water?
She be captured.
Aha.
Okay, hang on. Okay, so I'm on my own page at samhainhorror.com. And yes, the artist is Kelly Martin for A Penny Saved. And for Captured Souls, yeah, Scott Carpenter. He's the one who did my Capricorn cover. And did he do, who did Flesh Failure? I love my Flesh Failure cover. It's one of my favorite
Is
ones.
it a Jack the Ripper thing?
Scott Carpenter did that one, Flesh Failure.
Is it
Pardon?
a Jack the Ripper thing?
Flesh Failure?
Yeah.
Jack the Ripper's there. It's the year of the Ripper when that story comes out. The Flesh Failure takes place in 1888, and it's about a monster, a woman, a person, a whatever. She's crawls out of a shallow grave in London in the park there in 1888. And what's happened is she's been thrown away by her creator because when Mary Shelley wrote the book about 50 years earlier, Frankenstein, then there's a lot of copycats. And so people were trying to make their own monsters with her instructions. And then it became a whole wave of things. So our lovely Agatha in Flesh Failure is one of the thrown away creations, but they didn't realize she actually was alive and made it through the stuff. But since she is a monster, she has to well, a Frankenstein inspired electrical monster, she has to find out where the electricity is in 1888 London. And that was a real fun rabbit hole research time because where she ends up in Whitechapel, where the Ripper and everything happens, there it was all still gaslight there. So she always had to go to the richer parts of town to plug herself in, kind of thing, you know.
Have
But yeah.
you yet seen Penny Dreadful?
No.
Okay, you have to watch Penny Dreadful.
I know. I have Netflix. I have Show Me. I have all these channels. I have you know, but it's not anywhere, you know, and you gave me the flash drive and I friggin' broke it because I'm stupid and I'm not meant to see the show.
We will get you to see this show at some point in time because you absolutely, it is totally up your line of thing. This whole, your description of flesh failure actually comes really close to describing one of the main characters in the show. And okay.
Yeah.
So it's like every time I talk to you every once in a while, it's like, Penny Dreadful, you have to get it. We have to get you on this. Don't worry. We will find a way
to
do it.
Nut. I feel like Scrat with the nut, man. You know, I'm going after that Penny Dreadful and then the friggin' world falls away and I have to jump the cavern to try and get it. And will I ever be successful in seeing Penny Dreadful?
You will. Probably around the fourth season, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, I know.
Third season's coming out soon.
Yeah, because sometimes, like, I'll see, like, in episodes on Showcase, because I get Showcase, but it's like I'm so far behind, I don't want to ruin, you know, like, I want to watch it from the beginning, and because I know it's like American Horror Story, where you sort of need to know all the little threads and all that, right?
It's definitely one of those. If you're not following the whole string of, who's that person? What did they, what? Okay.
Yeah, that was cool, if only I knew why.
And there's this great seance scene in season one. You're going to like that, too.
Yeah? Oh, good.
Totally. I don't want to talk about it anymore because I'm just going to make you feel bad. Okay. So, but you brought up a topic of conversation that I did actually want to talk about. We look in the real world and, like, we don't really normally find women as the monsters so often in news stories. But more and more we see monsters depicted as women in movies and stuff. And why is that? Why do you think?
I think probably, I guess, especially in movies, like, you know, women look best when they're running in a nightgown with their big boobs bouncing in the dark and their hair's flying and a monster's after
them. We won't
them.
Disagree.
Then they fall and cry and then they get ripped in half. Like, you know, that's... you know, it's visually interesting, you know, or whatever, right? We're just kind of used to that. Like, you know, they're either being saved or being chased or being murdered. And and we're just kind of used to that just because of the way people have perceived women and men and our roles and our genders and all that crap for, you know, years. But now I think as women I don't know. I think it's always been there. I myself don't really put a lot of thought in it. I tend to have women as main characters just because I am one. It's not because, oh, I'm making a big statement. It's just I'm a woman and I know what it's like to be a woman. And as a writer, you know, it's self-indulgent. It's like, what if I woke up as a monster in a park one day? What would I do? It'd be the first thing I'd do. Well, besides being really fucking pissed off, you know.
In a park.
Where would I go?
Like, seriously.
What do I do? How do I live? As a woman in 1888 who's friggin', you know, stitched together like a monster, how would I even make a living? Do I have to make a living? Do I eat? You know, and so it's just interesting to me to explore that stuff. And then, like, in Captured Souls, which is also a Frankenstein-themed thing, only it's the mad scientist creating the monsters, right? So, but I made it a woman. So it's Dr. Marion Frederick, you know, Frederick Frankenstein, right? So, so with her, I made her the male character, the mad scientist, because I thought it'd be fun and interesting because I'm a woman. And it's like, yeah, that'd be cool to be the, you know, mad scientist. And what would I do as the mad scientist? And yeah, so that's how I kind of tackle it. I'm not making any statements or, oh, I'm all political. No, I'm just trying to have fun telling stories because it's fun.
Okay. So, I mean...
And I think other women are embracing that, too. I know a lot of women are making, you know, big statements, and good for them. Thank God they are, because I'm not. And then others, you know, they're probably like me, like, yeah, why is the woman always the victim or always the one being rescued or, you know, or in the ivory tower or being sliced? Let's make them the monster. Let's make them the bad guy. Let's make them the, you know, weird, creepy thing in the corner, you know? I don't know. It's fun. You know, I think it's another way to, you know, because everything's been done. Everything's been done to death, obviously. And so it's another way just to turn the corner and try something different, I think, too.
Cool. I saw a squirrel.
Squirrel. Scrat. He's coming back with Mike Penny Dreadful. No.
Yes, he's probably, yes. He's got the nut, and he's going with it.
Actually, he's right here on my desk. Poor guy.
I almost
from Kylo there.
I almost posted that picture on Facebook to go with the post, and said like, "No, I'll stick with the book cover of the new book because that's probably more appropriate." I'm just guessing. It was just like one of those things. Was like, yeah, I think we'll go with that one.
Yeah.
It was either that one or the other one where you had on your, because your, when I linked to your blog, it just pulled up three random pictures. Like, okay, I know that's your son, and I know, I don't know who the hell that is, and that's you. No, okay, we need the book. That's got to be the book. But yeah. So, you've been in horror as a writer for a long time.
Yes.
A couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple.
Just a couple of years. From what I understand, about 20, 25 or so, right?
My first novel that I wrote myself, well, not that I wrote, but that got published, I should say, my first published novel that was mine was in 1999. But before that, I co-ghost wrote two novels with Nancy Kilpatrick in 1995 and 1996. So that ages me. I guess that is 20 years. Yeah. You know, and then there's always, you know, like, as you know, that 10 years or so, you're, you know, honing your craft and learning how to submit and trying
Wait,
to submit.
10
and...
years? It's going to take me 10 years to get this crap right?
Oh,
Damn
yeah.
It.
It took me 10 years to sell my first book. The first book that I sold, it took me 10 years. And then all the others were less. But it takes time. But at least now, like, things are different now. And part of the reason why it took 10 years is because you have to wait a year for the damn mail to come, right? And then if you're dealing with leisure books, it's 2 years, you know.
Leisure books. I remember them.
Yeah, long ago in a galaxy far away.
And no longer around this galaxy, right?
Nope, they aren't.
Oh,
but,
well.
And that, but I tell you, like, as a writer and as a new writer and as a... it, for me, it's kind of how I illustrate to people, like, don't give up on your dreams if you want to be a writer. Because how I did it was, I was a voracious reader, like most writers are. And I realized I wanted to write cheesy, like, just the fucking cheesiest horror novels. I just wanted to write them. And so I got hooked on, I want to write for leisure and I want to write for Zebra. And I just would send proposals, like, all the time to these places. And then Don Doria became editor at Leisure, or he may have been editor all along, but then he got to horror, because I know he was in westerns and romance before he did the horror line. And then
and that's an easy segue over to horror, right?
Yeah, it's totally easy, you know. Yeah, so then horror was kind of shifting, and the HWA was invented, and all this stuff was happening. And then but I had these four novels that I'd already written. So I, and since he was the new guy, you know, starting again. So I sent him the novels, you know, one at a time over, you know, various years and years. And I was pretty much going to give up, because he'd always write back at some point and be like, oh, you know, I really like your work. I like your writing style, but, you know, this is not horror. This is fantasy, or I don't even know what the fuck this is, but I like your writing, but this isn't what I'm going to publish, you know. But he was encouraging, and, you know, and anyone you've ever talked to about Don, he's like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I was pretty much given up in my little place in Toronto. I'm just like, well, these big New York people don't, you know, I can't seem to crack that nut. I can't seem to deal, you know, I can't, you know, deliver to Leisure, but I'll just give up and try some other things. But then I went to World Horror in... I don't even remember. I think it was Atlanta or Arizona. I don't know. It was way back in the 90s.
Somewhere in the state. Oh, wait.
Yeah,
they're almost all in the States.
Not in Canada.
We've had World Horror in Canada once, right?
Once. Yep. We did.
And I missed that one.
Oh.
Pissed me off because it was going to go, because there was going to be a whole bunch of people I wanted to meet.
Yeah. I was Toastmaster.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But this is my big story for anyone who's aspiring to write, or like, don't get depressed or whatever. So I went to this World Horror, and I had a read. They gave me a reading slot, and I knew no one would come because no one knew who the fuck I am. Why would they come? So, you know, I was in my little room, and there were three people in the audience, and I did my reading. It was like a really raunchy sex story. Imagine that. but it was published. It had been published. And then after... my reading this, because there was no internet back then or anything, like, seriously. And then after I did my reading, man came up, shook my hand. I thought he was like a teenager, and it turned out it was Don Doria. And I was like, oh my God. He's like, oh, you know, and he asked why I hadn't sent anything in lately. I said, well, I gave up. He said, no, don't give up, don't give up. So then I pitched him some more ideas. He asked me for ideas. I gave him a couple ideas. One of them stuck. He liked it. He's like, okay, write that up. So send me something. So that turned out to be House of Pain, my first book with Leisure. So people, don't give up and never cry if there's only three people at your reading, is my moral of the story.
Four things I wanted to throw on that. House of Pain. Gosh darn it, you stole one of my book names. Damn it. I'm still going to put out one.
There's several books called that. I'm not the only one.
Oh, no. I think there's about 30 books I remember seeing at one point called that.
It's based on the Paul Bernardo house getting bulldozed.
Oh, cool. Mine is always about the house of Dr. Moreau.
Cool.
The island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. Most people think House of Pain because it's me. That's going to be some weird SM thing, and it's not. It's a haunted house book.
Well, that's cool. That works out. Second thing. Somebody in the chat room has had, what, any recommendations to start with to read in your material?
Well, I, you know, Penny Saved. Go for it.
Penny Saved. There you go. Something fairly recent. If
you want extreme horror, hair curling, oh my God, I can't believe my eyes are burning out. That's the one. If you want something like a more witchy kind of Elizabeth Bathory kind of thing. Borrowed Flesh is a good one. Nikon eBooks has reprinted my Leisure books. So you can find them all. Mistress of the Dark isn't out quite yet, but that's my favorite Leisure book, but they still haven't gotten it out yet. But yeah, it's Borrowed Flesh or House of Pain would be good to start with.
And Jack also mentioned something about darker passion stuff. I don't know what that's referring to.
Right. Oh, why am I drawing a blank?
Neither am I. But...
Oh, I know what darker passion is. Okay, go on.
No, that was just... I was mentioning stuff in the chat room because, you know, it's interactive. It's all about stuff.
Stuff. Darker passions. Oh, yeah. No, that's the ones I did with Nancy. Yeah.
There you go.
I did... No, that's why my brain was...
Jack is a little on the kooky side. He has a lot of books. And he goes to a lot of conventions in the States, and he buys a lot of books, which is good.
Yay, we need people like Jack.
Exactly.
Otherwise we wouldn't eat.
Exactly. And why would we keep writing if people weren't reading?
That's right.
See? And he wants to eventually at some point get a friggin' print copy of Penny Saved.
Yeah, well, what's going to have to happen with that is I have to deliver another novella to Sam Hain. It's already written. I just haven't edited it yet. It's called A Stitch in Time, and it's also a demon comes to Earth for weird sex, only instead of about it hoarding pennies, it's about knitting. So... So, yeah, since I'm doing this Witch Upon a Stars series right now, where I'm writing a book a month... It might be a while, but I'm going to try to get that Stitch in Time done because otherwise I won't be able to get a Penny Saved in print till I deliver the Stitch in Time. So they have to go together in a print version because it's too short to print on its own.
Gotcha. So not quite 40 pages, but whatever.
Yeah, I think it's like 30,000 words or so.
Nice.
But the way Sam Hain works is they have to be over 65,000 words before they'll put them in print. So if I have two, that's how Experiments in Terror was. It's really Captured Souls and Flesh Failure put together in one book, and that made the word count.
This might date you, but I don't know if you necessarily remember them or not. But Da used to do the double books.
Yeah.
Where you'd have, they're science fiction. It was all science fiction stuff. Mm-hmm. But it would always be the double books. One book one way was one person, and the other book was another person. It was like, hey, buddy of mine collects all of those whenever you can find them.
Yeah, I know some of the smaller presses are doing some of those. I don't remember at all who it was. I'm sure they'll hate me if they're listening. But yeah, someone has been doing something like that. Was it Borderlands? I can't remember now. Anyways.
Could be. I don't remember seeing them, but I think I've been seeing a couple more like that. But yes, you had mentioned something about the one book you're doing. It's like, oh yeah, it's all this extreme terror stuff. And this is an interesting comment point that I always think about because I think about odd things. when you tell people that, hey, yeah, you write horror, it's like, oh yeah, I write this kind of horror. It's like, and then they look at you funny. Okay, and do you think like that? And it's like, no, probably not, but that's the first thought that many come up with, right?
I don't think I'm creepy, and most people who know me, you've known me for
Yeah.
years. You know I'm like
Totally
that
not.
furthest thing from creepy. All I do is
Yeah.
laugh, and I'm stupid. You know, I laugh at stupid shit like Scrat and stuff. You know, I like my Star Wars lightsaber toys and all that.
And you really
You know,
like the Ray guy?
love Kylo Ren. Yes, absolutely. I'm in love with Kylo Ren. He's evil and wears a nice cloak, and he
He's
has
got
good hair. I like
such
his
a
hair.
pretty face.
Yes, he's cute. He's big brown eyes. Anyways. Anyways, he'll be in my night. No, right now, the what book I'm working on now for Taurus. No, I don't even know. Where are we going?
People's opinion of horror writers and why do they keep thinking
Yes.
that we're creepy and it's like, well, really, we're just like the person next door and like, yeah, we think about people killing people with it, but we're never gonna do no.
Well, this is it. Like, when I went to my first horror convention, like a big one like Nikon or something, but which isn't that big in the scheme of things. But when you don't know anybody or anything, 200 people is intimidating. Especially when they're all famous, like Peter Straub and people like that. And it's like, holy
Who?
fuck, Peter Straub and
Who?
Skip Inspector and Phil Nutman and Rick Howdla and all these fucking people. And it's like, oh my God, I'm just gonna have a geekgasm and die. And then and it's like, how am I ever gonna talk to anyone? I can't. They're all scary and weird, and I've read all their stuff, and oh my God. And I was just terrified. The next thing, you just hear peals of laughter, and it's like, what the hell? And then you go to all these panels, everyone's cracking jokes, and every party, people are laughing. I've go to science fiction and fantasy conventions a little bit, but horror conventions, like we do the stupidest pranks. Like I'm actually observing so many of them, but I don't want to say any of them on the air because probably, won
What
be able to
happens at
come
the
back to the
conventions
States.
stays at the
Exactly.
conventions.
Sure, man. But the hijinks we get up to, we just screaming with laughter. Like horror, I think I'm not saying horror writers are adjusted people by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not sure if anyone in the world is adjusted or normal or what that even is. But I think horror writers get a lot of their shit out, and which allows them to laugh and stuff. Because you figure that, like, I know for me, like, I laugh if I'm scared, I laugh if I'm happy. Like, it's just horror produces like this sensation or emotion or whatever, and I think the two are very closely related, as well as sex. Like that's why I always find sex and horror very closely related. Then other people say they don't like sex with their horror, and I say, well, what? I guess you probably don't like sex in your life either. But anyways,
And then if
but
you're not getting the sex in your life, then you probably don't want the horror in your life. So don't read our stuff and go away.
that's right. But
Yeah.
but horror, like any of your listeners, they're writers and they want to go to a horror convention, whether they're a writer or a fan or a reader or whatever, don't be afraid, man, because horror writers really are the nicest, kindest people you'll ever meet. They'll go out of their way to give you autographs, especially if you're at a Comic-Con or something, because, we'll give them to you for free.
Well,
We're just
sometimes we'll
glad anyone's
charge.
looking our way.
We'll charge sometimes if they want to pay.
It's like, well, if you buy a book, you get a free autograph.
Yeah,
How's
see?
that?
Value. Adding value to the whole purchase transaction going on.
And you can even take a picture too.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't know about that. Pictures, they take a part of your soul, right? Don't know about that.
I gave my soul long ago. I have no soul to give.
Oh,
So,
okay. Then you're okay then. That is fine for you. All right.
how do you think I write these books, man? No.
And see, and that's the thing I say about being at a convention, being behind the table. The only way to really get people to buy your stuff and actually get involved is engage with people.
Yes.
And that's why anytime I've been at a convention, it's like, I'll absolutely talk to everybody.
Yep.
'Cause it's fun. You never
Yeah.
know what kind of weird person you're going to meet. It's like, hey, I'm thinking about you being in this story. You're a character number XYZ in 40 pages.
Yep. Oh yeah, and I'm a tarot reader too, so I've met all kinds of very interesting people.
Yes. So, do you bring, yeah, obviously you do bring the tarot into the writing because you're writing this whole thing with the Witch Upon a Star series.
Yeah,
Okay,
yeah,
that
yep.
question's done. Not going to go there any further.
And also the character in Borrowed Flesh is a tarot reader. The witch in there, the Elizabeth Bathory virgin slaughtering lady, which is a tarot reader.
Do you know that they actually have a really cool action figure of Elizabeth Bathory?
I've seen that online. I want it so bad. If anyone ever wants to buy me one, please.
Okay. What really pisses me off is I had a case of the whole series there, and it's like, why didn't I keep that for myself?
Yeah.
I should have kept one. There's also a variant of the Elizabeth as well. One where she's showing a little bit too much and one where she's not showing anything in the bath.
Ah, I think I've seen the one where she's showing it all.
Yeah. That's the one that goes for like about $200 or $300.
Yeah.
And that's the one I can never find anymore. Damn it. Oh, well.
Maybe they're in the States. Well, I don't know. Comic-Con's coming up next in a couple of weeks. Maybe there'll be one there.
There hasn't been one available at any of the Toronto conventions I've been to in ages.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the last couple of years. But I'm not going to worry about it. It's one of those things. If find it, great. Don't. Not the end.
Yep. Well, maybe one of your listeners will send you one now.
No, they don't like me that much. They like me, but they don't like me that much.
You never know. Somebody out there has to send you a Elizabeth Bathory character thing.
Well, I do have the, what's her face? I have the, in that same series, the Little Miss Muffet. And
oh, yeah, I like that one too. Yeah.
The spider thing one as well. Yeah, there's a whole bunch. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. I got too many of those.
Yeah, I have a couple of toys, but that had to stop for many years because I have kids. But now the thing I've just started collecting in my old age is the Kylo Ren dolls. If anyone wants to give me a Kylo Ren, I've got four here on my desk right now. I haven't gotten the life-size one yet, but I know that'll be trouble if I do.
Well, just so you know, they have cardboard standees that they put out, and I'd be surprised if they haven't or are not going to at some point put out. I'll tell you what, I'll look it up to see if it's available.
Woohoo!
It's a life-size cardboard cutout.
I would like that. It's funny, the Big Bang Theory tonight was the one where Sheldon got the life-size cutout of Spock, and of course it was the Zachary Quinto one and not the Leonard Nimoy, but he still embraced it heartily after
Fuck
this! I don't want Zachary Quinto! <You know? laughs>
I like Zachary. He was great in that show, in the movies.
He's hot. I liked him in Heroes.
I have that action figure.
Yeah?
Of him with the hunting for the brains.
Really?
Yes. Oh, he's got a little brain in the package. Like, that's the only reason I got it. It's had the brain in it.
Yeah, like I said, now that I've rediscovered my love of collecting toys, I'm going to have to start getting all geeky and getting all this shit. Now that my children aren't taking all my money anymore, I can do this.
Oh, we have to now introduce you into statues then. Oh my God, you want to start throwing your money away? Start getting statues.
No, I don't have. I'm in a tiny little apartment. I already have too many books and toys. Like, I seriously have like 50 boxes of books and toys, like up and like. I don't even know what's in there. I haven't even unpacked.
The next movie you'll unpack.
I just wait until I'm in my final place where I'm just going to have floor-to-ceiling shelves and all. I can finally put out all my damn toys and books.
Exactly. I love my floor-to-ceiling shelves.
The necessary.
They are necessary. It's very important. But you were talking about a number of the presses recently, Samhain and Leisure and other ones like that. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, that there are multiple levels. By the way, do you like that segue thing that went shoosh right around the corner?
Yeah.
So there's like three main tiers, I would say, of publishing. You got your big five, then you've got your bigger groups like Leisure and everything else, and then you've got like the small, and then there's, I guess, four. There's micro presses and then vanity presses as well. Like, the dynamic has been changing quite a bit, and you were talking earlier about how it took a long time to be able to get the print copy and the proofs and everything else from the books in the old days. And now it's like, send, somebody review, send back.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the changing world, the way that that's working for print and literary and the whole publishing and that whole nine yards?
Well, my only complaint as a mid-list writer, which is what I think I am, but I'm not sure.
It's a good name. Stick with it.
Yeah. Like, back, it's funny because it's kind of like 2008 or so is kind of a pivotal time. Like for me personally, around 2010 was kind of like my life blew up, and I sort of like lost track of everything for a couple of years there while I was trying to deal with my shit. And it seems like during around that time, publishing also did something crazy, because it's like I disappeared for a bit and then I came back, and it's like, it's like a nuclear bomb had gone off and there was just like wasteland everywhere. I'm like, what the hell? What's going on? Because I'd been with Leisure and I got advances for my books. I did a couple of things for some other publishers under various names. I'd get advances, you know? And things fell apart, and then I couldn't write for a little while. Then I was like, okay, I'm going to get back into this. And then all of a sudden there's ebooks, there's self-publishing, there's Leisure's dead, all these other places are dead, other ones are amalgamating, there's no more things in the bookstores. And it's like, what's happening? So I decided to embrace the new world order, being an Aquarius and all. And I know, you know, I'm not going to be able to change it or make time go back or whatever, and I don't know if I care if it does. So I just thought, okay, I'm going to have to learn about how all this new shit's working. I'm not that old that I can't figure this out, you know, so, you know, because I think, oh my God, I'm over 50. I'll never understand anything. But nah, I can understand things. I'm an Aquarius. I'm smart. I'm a university graduate after all. I can do this. I can read.
If you can read, you can do it.
Yeah. If you can read, you can do anything, especially now that we have internet. Honest to God.
Exactly.
Friggin' read, you can follow an instruction and deal with whatever the hell you got to do, whether it's build a house or write a book.
And somebody's freaking put a video out on how to do this.
Oh, damn right. You don't believe all the, I spend hours watching YouTube videos about, I'm learning all sorts of things on these YouTubes. I just never knew. I delved into a little bit of this self-publishing and, put out a couple of things, like some of my old short stories and a couple of books that one book hadn't been published before, but then I had a bunch of stories that had been previously published but no one would ever find because of all those small presses, right? And so
don't worry about the text in there.
Yeah, I know, I'm all distracted like a fucking squirrel.
Squirrels!
There's a nut on my screen.
There's messages popping up. Oh my God.
Anyways, so I tried to figure out the self-publishing stuff, and then people are talking about ebooks, and I was looking at, it's like, okay, I got to get back into writing horror, but what do I do? Where do I go? And I'm looking at Samhain. I'm looking at a bunch of the small presses, and like nobody's doing advances, and then Samhain, it's ebooks. It's like, what the fuck is going on? And then Don Doria went to Samhain, and so I was watching that for a while, and saw all my friends jumping on the boat there, so I'm okay, I'll jump on too. But the problem that's so hard for me is that we don't get advances, right? Like all the, like this book a month thing I'm doing and all this, there's no advances anymore, at least for me at my level in my life and who I am. I'm not getting advances. And it's tough because it's like trying to promote the stuff I've already written so that I'll get some royalties in. But I'm doing all this writing and, you know, I do a lot of social media, I have Twitter and Instagram and all that crap. I'm writing blogs. I'm trying to self-promote because that's the other thing now, and is we all have to promote ourselves. We always did. So I'm not, you know, I always had to promote myself anyways, but now actually I don't mind it because I am a geek. I am a nerd. I like Twittering.
It's
like
fun.
That shit. Yeah, I like that. I like playing with my Instagrams and my cameras and, you know, I'm a total techno kid. And as long as I can learn how to do it, I'm fine. So I don't mind doing my own self-promotion. I just don't know if it's working, you know.
So, well, it must be working. You're selling books.
I guess, but, you know, it's a new world order. It's a wild west out here. None of us know what actually does work or doesn't work in publishing or in social media or in anything. And all we can ever all do is just, you know what? You get one life, just fucking live it. Like, you want to write a book and publish it? Do it. You know, like, But that's the attitude I'm taking now because, you know, my dad dropped dead last year and then he came back. It was hilarious. On Friday the 13th, he dropped dead at the gym. But luckily he was at the gym and they brought him back. But, you know, it just goes to show, like, I was at the gym at the same time in Toronto. And it's like, wow, like, I went to the gym and came home. My dad went to the gym and was dead, you know. But he's fine. But it just shows me, like, life's too short. Like, I'm not going to wait around 10 years, you know, holding out for some advance I may get or never get. I'm just going to write my stories and people can read them or not. I just hope more people read them because, I want a place to live. Like, I don't even mean, like, buying a place, just, like...
Having a roof.
Living in this shitty apartment on Skid Row.
Just making sure to have a roof.
Yeah, I just don't want to be on the street.
Always a good plan. Yeah, so that's not all, folks. So the big dynamic change there being the whole how the revenue stream happens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So as opposed to an upfront and then, okay, The advances were like the music advances too, right? Where it's like, okay, you get a big chunk of change and they just keep taking that off the royalties you would have gotten. Yeah. And then you get royalties after that, right?
Yeah. 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 Time I didn't get royalties after that. But there were some books where I did. Yeah. Like House Magic, The Good Witch's Guide to Bringing Grace to Your Space, which came out in 2001. I got a huge advance for that. And I earned royalties for years and years afterwards. But that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah. Well,
maybe it would, but maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. I just know at the level I'm at and with the material I enjoy writing, you know, well, I don't know if I'm going to ever get those $50,000 advances or anything. You know?
Yes, you will. I can see it. It's going to happen.
That'd be nice.
What I was going to say is be happy you're not in the tier below that, where you are now. Because the tier below that, you get a flat fee. Submit a story. You get $20.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't make much of a living on that.
No, I know, and I don't do a lot of short stories, partly just because, personally, they take me almost as long to write as a novel. Like, it's a very particular art, and they're like little puzzles and cryptic things, and you have to carefully plant, you know, every sentence is precious, and, you know, you can't have any extra shit in a short story, and, you know, as you can tell by how I prattle on, I'm kind of long-winded. Novels are better for me.
That's why you get an editor, and the editor takes the red sticker in here and says, that word gone, that word gone, that word gone. Okay, we're getting rid of a third of your book. Okay, I'm glad you wrote 135,000 words, because then it's just going to be 100,000.
Yep.
Or equivalent thereof in whatever quantities somebody's talking about for whatever. Yeah. But yeah, no, I agree. I think the whole dynamic has changed a lot over the last 10 years, and the consuming population's like reading tons and tons and stuff, but not necessarily all the good stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, good stuff is subjective. Like, it really is. Because I just know, even in my own life, like, I know my parents always boggle, like, you're a classical violinist. How can you listen to that punk rock shit? You know, like, you know, it's like I like it both. I really do. You know, I really do. I'm sorry. And I'm just one of those people. Like, I, you know, let your freak flag fly, you know, like, just do what you want. And I don't know, you know, what the answers are. I just... I suppose in a way the model of, you know, writing your art and then people paying for it afterwards, you know, does show whether, you know, it's your art is viable or not. Because no matter how unknown you are, eventually you will be known if you keep producing and if you're persistent, right?
Yep.
So then at the end of the day, the wallet will talk whether people will buy your stuff or not.
Exactly. But then I go into the philosophy stuff and says, 200 years from now, nobody's going to know who you were.
Nope, they won't.
And they won't even remember what you did. And they won't remember what happened. And if you, unless you change the world and shake it up so much, the only way you can really do it and still be known afterwards is destroy everything.
Yep.
That's what I'm working on. Total world domination. Zombies everywhere.
Annihilation, yeah.
Yeah. That's my motto, and I'm sticking to it. So you are embracing this whole dynamic of social media stuff, as witnessed by being on this radio show, on a live podcast.
Yeah.
Being broadcast out to at least a couple of people. Although EW keeps telling me that we hit actually hundreds and thousands and stuff, and it's like, well, I only see or hear from a couple, so that's good.
Yeah.
So what other kinds of things as far as getting the stream going for you do you hit with the social media stuff? I mean, I know you're on Facebook, and I know you're on Twitter and on Instagram and some stuff like that, but what other kinds of things, like physical appearances and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. I do a weekly horoscope for romancebeat.com, but it's on my YouTube channel. I've been doing horoscopes for years on video, because that was one of the things after, you know, before the dark times, or after the dark times, you know, that period of time in my life. After the dark times, I decided to start doing these horoscopes on online and stuff, and then also I did a little bit on Instagram where I do a daily Aquarius, you know, and Instagram's only 15 seconds, so I just pull a card of the day because I'm an Aquarius, and then I'd hear from other Aquarians that, hey man, I like, you know, I'm watching for your thing and do it, and then I get the other signs, oh, you didn't do me. It's like, oh man, I can't spend my whole day. You guys want to pay me to do this? Sure, I'll do it, but I'm not getting paid. I'm just doing it for fun. I don't, but you know, but then I'll be at a convention or you know, like at Fan Expo or something, and walking through the hall, oh, I saw your videos, and it's like, oh, who the hell are you, you know? So that does work. There is some kind of reach. And so now I'm doing it's kind of in cahoots with the whole Witch Upon a Star series, that starting in January for the new year, I'm doing weekly tarot scopes, and they're the videos, and like I said, they're linked to my YouTube, but you can either watch them right at romancebeat.com, or you can go to my YouTube, and they're on every, like, Friday's the day they go up, although sometimes I'm late delivering them, so it might be every day. Oh my God! Yeah, so, but yeah, so you can get, but I try to do, you know, how your sex life for the weekend kind of thing. Yeah, and they're all kind of, you know, they're bent towards romance and money. Well, that's all anyone cares about anyways. Am I getting laid and am I getting rich? That's all anyone wants to know.
Getting paid or getting laid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that's a way to do things. And then also on YouTube, over the years, I've done things like made trailers, which are horrendous because I can't do that shit to say. I've actually probably could do it now better, but the couple of little trailers I made years and years ago, like, we didn't have the tools we have now, so they're really shitty. And then I've done things like that. There's a couple small things on my YouTube of me reading my own work, because sometimes people like that. They like to see an author read their own stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when, because I just first got an Instagram and just got my first fancy ass phone with Captured Souls and with Flesh Failure, with those, I did these tiny little Instagrams, which are 15 seconds, as a character from the book. So you'll see on my YouTube channel, because I put some of them on there on my Frankenstein reel, that you'll see these crazy, you know, I'm in these wigs and shit saying weird stuff, or in a doctor's mask, or, you know, with my little tools, and yeah, I'm the mad scientist or the monster or whatever. And I thought that was fun, because why I started doing that was because that was way back when James Franco did his whole, you know, do an Instagram a day and you'll be a get famous or whatever. So I thought, I'm going to try that and see what happens. I don't think I'm famous, but it was a lot of fun doing an Instagram a day. It got me out of my depression anyways. But it's fun. Yeah, so there's all kinds of crazy things to do like that for social media.
Yeah, all of that. Sorry, I just started scrolling at the bottom of your blog spot, and I started seeing all the pictures of the little action figures. Oh, I didn't realize you had so many pictures of them doing that stuff.
Oh, the action figures?
Yes.
My Kylo Ren friggin' collage.
Yes. I was like, okay.
I got a new one, so I got new Kylo Rens now. That's just when I had the little baby one.
Where's the skeleton thing from?
That's just a Dollarama skeleton.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I was thinking maybe it was
like 100 of them, those little guys.
All right. I'm not going to go any further with that.
Well, no, because I had a bunch, like, because I, you know, Dollarama at Halloween, and they came three on a string, and I just bought, like, tons of them, and then, but I've used them, and, you know, they're all, like, gone now, because I've either given them away, you know, because I put them on crafts or whatever, and, yeah.
Oh, Jack has actually just mentioned that he's seen some of your videos.
Oh, yeah.
And he says they're fun.
Oh, good.
And I don't know what Aletheon is.
Aletheon?
I don't know if that's just a typo or something unrelated, but he says he enjoys them quite a bit.
Oh, thank you. There you go.
Feedback.
Thank
Feedback.
You so much. Yay.
This is what I love about technology. Here I am talking with you in one part of the city, and then I'm with them over there in some other part of the world, and over here it's like, wow, that's just fun. And then I've got that. I just love technology.
It is fun. It is.
So I'm going to segue now into the HWA, because I know you're a big part of that, because you've been a chapter head. What is the official title? Chapter head or chapter...
I always say chapter head, but sometimes I say queen bee, and sometimes it's queen or, you know, princess, but president. I guess president's probably the word, but
yeah,
I like queen bee.
Of the Ontario chapter of the HWA. I was going to go with the queen bee as well, because I think that's been the term that's been mostly we've bandied around. So the HWA is an organization of what?
It's an organization of crazy people. No.
Crazy like a fox.
Totally crazy. Yeah. No, it's the Horror Writers Association. And it's been around since 89 or 87 or around there. It used to be called Howl before that. But anyways, it's international. It's worldwide. I think we have like 1,700 members now. So basically, what happens is it's an organization, you can be any level. You can be a fan, you can be a reader, you can be a writer, an editor, a publisher, and you can join this network. And when you're in this network, you know, it's good for networking, obviously. And so you can do things like, in our case here in Toronto, I run the Ontario chapter. So it's basically, I just, you know, once a month, like, hey, who wants to hang out? And then a bunch of people will come and we all hang out. And it's just part of networking.
But
and
we talk about important stuff too, not just hanging out.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was going to say, our chapter is very vibrant in that we do a lot of things. So whereas, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, we really did just sit around drinking and networking that way. But there wasn't social media and there wasn't the opportunities that there are now. Plus, the HWA never gave anyone a budget to do anything. There was none of that. Everything's really been changed a lot and transitioned. And so now when we have our meetings, we actually have an agenda, as you know. And so we do things like we do Fan Expo and Word on the, well, we didn't do Word on the Street this year, but we will again. And a Comic-Con, you know, then we just started the Great Lakes Horror Podcast, which
I was just going to segue into that after the discussion about the cons.
Yeah. So that's a lively little thing we've done with our chapter just because we all networked. It's like, hey, let's put on a show. And it's like, fucking right, yeah. And we all, you know, then like you and Monica and others that already know how to do this, do your thing. And then the rest of us are like, wee. And yeah, it's been great.
And let's not forget some of the other conventions that we're going to be at. Dark Carnival in Hamilton. The Niagara one, which
Falls Comic-Con.
Yep.
And then the HWA itself, the Horror Writers Association, has the annual Bram Stoker Award ceremony, which I'm sure a lot of people have seen horror books over the years. It says Stoker winner or Stoker nominated or whatever. Bram Stoker was the author of Dracula, as probably most of your listeners already know.
And it's Stoker, not Stroker.
Yeah, it's not Stroker, only if you're bitter.
And that's a different, completely unrelated thing altogether.
Yeah. So there's this annual ceremony where it's not, we don't say it's the best writing of the year, but it's, what do they say? It's the most recognized, or it's a way to validate really excellent work through the year. So we have like best novel, best.
It's peer recognition.
Yeah, it's recognition, absolutely. And in the HWA, if you're an active member, you can vote on these awards. And then there's like a big ceremony every year. And how they used to do it was every other year they would pair up with the World Horror Convention. You know, it's for financial reasons because most writers, you know, we don't have a lot of money to go jet setting because as we discussed, you know, we're all fucking poor. So you know, so they combine the two conventions now and again. Which should be fun. You should get two for the price of one. But on the other hand, it would kind of suck because then World Horror programming on the Saturday night had to be dedicated to the Bram Stoker Awards. And not everyone gives a shit about awards or cares or, you know, like you want to just party or, you know, it's tough. It's tough to combine them. So anyways, after many years, this year will be the very first year, 2016, where the Horror Writers Association has now officially formed their own convention called StokerCon, and this year will be the first year they have it, and it's in Las Vegas at the Flamingo Hotel over Mother's Day weekend, like the 12th to 14th or something like that. And they're also launching what they're calling Horror University, and there we have people prominent in the field will be actually teaching classes, and you can sign up for classes in advance to attend Horror University when you're in Las Vegas. I myself will be teaching a class on how to put tarot and other metaphysical ideas into your writing without always the death card being death. And
I was just going to say, is the death card death always?
Yeah.
I know the answer to that question, but is it?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't even mean death ever. So
I know.
It's just death to habits or whatever. But yeah, so, and then of course they'll have the awards ceremony there as well, the Bram Stoker ceremony awards. So it'll be interesting to see how this year goes. I'm hoping to get there, you know, obviously since I'm supposed to be teaching a class and stuff. People have to buy my books to get me to friggin' Las Vegas so you can come and take my class and see me on panels and get my autograph and bring me Kylo Ren toys.
There you go. And the Kylo Ren toys are cheaper in the States than they are up here. Yeah, I mean, with the exchange rate and everything.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they are.
So how can people follow or stalk or continue to consume your products, that your content that you're making? Go.
Okay. So you can follow me on Twitter, S-E-P-H-E-R-A, just my first name. Sephora is my Twitter handle. I have several Twitter handles, but that's the main one. And if you follow that, then I'm always tweeting about all the crap I'm doing, so that you get everywhere from there. I'm on Instagram as Sephora Jerome. I'm on Pinterest. I think I'm Sephora Jerome or Sephora G. You'll be able to tell by all the Kylo Ren pictures. and the mermaids. I love mermaids and corsets too. Facebook, I have an author page. I'm trying to get that one more active. Because the personal one's getting too full. So, yeah, it's just my name, Sephora Jerome, author. And where else am I? Oh, like my blogs. I have SephWriter666.blogspot.ca. That's the one Zombie Zach here is talking about. All the Kylo Ren and Scrat pictures of the skeletons and stuff. Because that's just shit on my desk, and I took pictures of it. You know?
And it's okay. They all know me as Bill as well as Zombie Zach.
Okay. I wasn't sure what you were.
On Facebook now, I had to change my name. It's like, okay, way to go, Facebook police.
I know.
Jeez.
You know, they called you out good, didn't
oh,
they?
Oh, gosh, did they ever give me a zombie slap? It's like,
sure
what the
did.
Hell?
Yeah, but it's all good now. You're all put back together.
More or less.
Yep.
Bits are missing, but we'll fix those.
Yep, it's nothing a few Band-Aids won't help, you know.
And sutures.
Duct tape
fixes everything. Which is funny, because that used to be a big part of the show in the old days. It's like, yeah, we're putting duct tape on. Okay.
Hey, man. Half my belongings are duct tape. But yeah.
I actually started using it on some of my comic book boxes when the lids start falling apart. It's like, yep, duct tape that shit together.
Duct tape. Yep. It's good for everything.
Yeah, that's why it was created. Actually, no, it was created for some other... Yeah, it was created for medical purposes.
Medical?
Yeah. They originally used it, I think, Jack might correct me, but I think it was originally designed as a field emergency medical thing.
Ah. Well, Lord knows I have used it on hangnails and ripped fingernails and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's good stuff. Oh, have you ever seen the movie Dog Soldiers?
No, not yet. No.
Okay, it's a werewolf movie. Mm-hmm. But that's the one whole thing. It's like the one werewolf is clawed the guy's stomach wide open and his intestines have all spilled out. I say, don't worry about it, sir. Don't worry about it, sir. They start pushing all his intestines back in and they duct tape him up and it's like, okay.
Love it.
We'll see how that works.
Yeah, I was just realizing I don't use nearly enough duct tape in my stories. But
you've seen the Red Green Show, right?
Yes.
Duct tape fixes everything.
It sure does.
Okay, so we're expecting big things from the new other podcast for the Great Lakes Horror Company, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is a blast. We're doing that. I'm enjoying it so much. And you have an interview with Monica Bort coming
yep.
up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When's that one airing? This week or next week?
Not this week. I think that's like towards the end of the month.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll go with that because I haven't sent it away yet.
Yeah, and it's so our podcasts are on Mondays. They go live, right?
I'm still waiting to hear when all that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, we're live right now. The one is up, or at least I was Twittered that it is.
Oh, it
Hold
is. So we can share that because I didn't see the
on.
confirmation that we could start sharing it.
No, I don't know who's in charge of confirmation, if that's me or not, but I shared it.
Oh, okay.
So if Monica Kubler or Andrew is listening and they go, "Shut up, Safra, it's not live."
Well, I don't think they're listening right now, but they might hear the rebroadcast when I post the links later.
Then it'll be live for sure.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
But yeah, so I did tweet about it because we do have a Great Lakes comp oh my God, Great Lakes Horror Company podcast Twitter account too, which
Excellent.
all running. I'm running. We're all
So
some of
every
it.
time I see the acronym GLHC, I keep thinking of GMLBH, which is a German company, and I can't remember what they do, but I just remember their logo, and it's like, oh crap, I'm going to always be thinking about that now every single time I see this.
Oh
And
no.
it's now hardwired in my head, that and that. It's like, oh.
Because of that beavers.
I know. I love the vampire beaver though. I really do. The logo that Andrew got Dennis to do, that is a freaking awesome logo. I love the logo. It looks really
Oh,
cool.
yeah, I love it too. It's
But
cool too.
everybody else has to watch the movie Zombievers.
Yep. I know I've seen clips from it, but I don't think I've seen the whole movie.
It's crazy, stupid, funny.
Why
And EW
not?
says he hates it, so well, he just didn't like it that much. Whatever.
Oh, well.
But I laughed my butt off throughout the entire movie. So we're pretty much at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
And yes, I love the line he just posted in there.
Sacrifice the dog.
Because that happens in the movie.
I imagine.
So I just wanted to say thanks, Seth, for coming out and showing up on the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fantastic. Had a good time. Thank you.
Excellent. I appreciate you being here. It's all this fun learning stuff and everything. Everybody else in the world, come visit Afterrot all over the place on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever the hell else I can possibly post my stuff on. Every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or whatever standard time zone thingamabob thing, whatever it is that you're in. Come back again and again and again and again and again, and always bring cookies. And I,
Yum,
yes, and I think we'll roll out on that with that EW.
Of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their pick.